Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Saying, oh man, it's a 10-game homestand and they're starting off with two losses. Like, the entire view of it changes drastically because of how that ended. And as I said, it was April baseball. It is April baseball, but there was plenty of drama for April, and it felt like a much bigger game than a game that was on April the 13th in the month of April. And that was really fun. That was the first game even this year that we've had that you had that kind of feeling. Like, there's been some, you know, 10th inning win, and of course from a few days ago, but considering the drama involved there and the tense moments, like that was
and
the first time this year.
They gave up a run in the eighth, yeah, so that, it like built up the drama.
It was a three, you know, it was a close game. It was a 3-2 baseball game. So just, we hadn't had a couple, many of those so far in the young season. And then Danny Duffy was incredible last night. Again, man, Danny Duffy has been their best pitcher on the entire staff so far in his two starts, and who knows how long it continues, but man, it could not be more important for this team right now because of the struggles you've seen from Brad Keller, who is on the bump today. Hopefully he gets on track today, and certainly the struggles to a certain extent, not as bad the last time out for Brady Singer, but Danny Duffy has picked up the entire rotation with his two outings that he's had at this point in time. And it's been a really pleasant surprise, frankly. Not that we haven't seen a good outing or two from Danny Duffy in the season, but to start his two outings with both of those in that way. And what, the one run he gives up, unfortunately, or the run he gives up is Shohei Ohtani, who just is absurd and out of this world and is something that we've never seen in baseball before.
From the 913, it's the number change. And look, I mean, I did get some feels last night because Look, Duffy's never been a high leg kick guy after it, but he was showing some like pitching mound swag yesterday. When he fired off that final pitch for the strikeout and did that little leg kick at the end for a big moment in that game that was still incredibly close at that moment, yeah, I got some shades of Yordano, especially when he's rocking the 30 out there. I tweeted out the video last night. I retweeted somebody else this morning comparing the two, where you see, and look, nobody did it like Yo did, certainly, in those moments, yeah, but you can't help but like feel that way. And with Duffy, I hope it's just like, for him, the pressure had gotten to him sometimes. He at times looks like one of the best pitchers in baseball over the course of his career, right? Maybe not in the last few years, but I always go back to that 2014 run for 2 months when he looked like the best pitcher in baseball, not the best left-hander in baseball, the best pitcher in baseball. To start a season this way is incredibly encouraging because we weren't even sure he was in the rotation. And he made the rotation. He was fine, seemingly, to go to the bullpen. I think sometimes because of the stressors that come with being a starting pitcher every 5 days and how easy it is to lose a game, seemingly, for a team, or put a team out of it based on that. And he seems like he's pitching free and easy, which is great news for Danny Duffy because he was good, very good, again last night. He got himself in a little bit of trouble, but seemingly had the pitch every time. Also,
97.
Yeah, he's throwing 97 again?
I'm with you. You were heading that direction, too, because that was what was surprising as well last night. And I think even Whit Merrifield, after the game, talked about seeing Duffy hit up to 97 on the radar gun there. You know, it's an extremely promising start for Danny Duffy. And again, it's just that it's so needed because we've talked about all the things that haven't gone right. And that's what was so nice about last night. They caught a break. They caught a break because of how the ball ricocheted off of Salvi and then in the junk of the Walsh kid for the Angels, and they get the pickoff to end the game. That's a break that you don't always get, and a lot of times those are the type of breaks that have gone against the Royals, and I'm sure there will be some other game here in the near future that doesn't break the right way, but you'll take it right now where you don't have all your pitchers performing at a high level, and you don't have your lineup working the way you want it, and you've got some guys that are still banged up and not available, and you need some of these in April. And these are things that haven't broke the Royals' way in a while, in the month of April. And we've talked about the slow starts in the past. Yeah, these are the type of games where – that ball doesn't hit the player in the junk and it ends up in the dugout of the Royals or near the wall there. And all of a sudden they get a run to tie it or the Royals end up losing the game because of that. It's a different feel. And certainly, as we know, 5-4 looks a hell of a lot better than 4-5.
Of course. Well, now they still haven't been below 500. Right. Guess what they won't be after today? Below 500. No matter how the result goes. And obviously Brad Keller's on the mound today, and this is a huge game. But, you know, Witt was on the field after the game. And I think when you start to feel like luck is on your side a little bit, you start to believe you can come back from anything. And belief really does matter in this. This was Witt after the game on team's ability to just to scratch out the kind of wins you're talking about like last night, Gold.
We talked about it in the locker room just, you know, 10 minutes ago, how we got guys that are going to kick it in gear. And when they do, you know, it's going to be a lot of fun out there playing because we're doing stuff we can to win games now, which is a really promising sign because we haven't done stuff like that these last couple of years. So we need to continue to do that, continue to find ways to win games. And then when we start clicking on all cylinders, it's going to be fun.
I think, you know, and that's what he's saying, like, you know, same thing we talked about, right? Was last night a perfect baseball game? Like, offensively, was that a perfect baseball game?
Far from it.
They struck out a bunch, right? And not as much as they had been striking out. And they had some better scoring opportunities. Like, even in the first inning, right? You'd be like, well, I mean, you got second on third and you only got one run. Does that feel like a win? Like, most of the time, it's fine. You can do those in occasional innings. But you needed more than that. And I just think this team seemingly, like right now in the very early part of this, they do have that like blessed luck to win the games they're not supposed to win. They haven't let a lot get away in that avenue yet. Because that ball that got away from Salvi before it hit him in the 1-800 got junk on the other end, that wasn't supposed to work that way. That's luck a little bit that forced your hand. And Holland got a really good call in the bottom of the eighth and all the things that happened with it. But it was an incredible win, especially because the Angels have started so well. And Duffy is currently your best pitcher.
You realize yesterday, 4-9 didn't have a single hit. They still won that game.
Yeah, that's wild. Like that. Also, just
4-9 didn't have a hit. Now, against Carlos Santana, though, had two RBI without getting a hit. Okay, so he had a couple sack flies.
Two productive outs.
Yeah, and that's
all. Ground out and a sack fly.
Yep. But 4-9, you don't get a hit, and you still find a way to win a game. That's because Witt gets you two hits and is stealing some bags out there. And then, obviously, Andrew Benintendi, and then Salvador Perez is white hot right now for the Royals. And the lineup's out today, by the way, so he's DHing today. So Cam Gallagher will actually be behind the plate. But, of course, you're not taking that Salvador Perez bat out of the lineup right now. He is white hot and feeling it.
No, and now that means Kyle Isbell's out, which makes me wonder a little.
Yeah, two days in a row.
2 days in a row, and against righties. Like, none of those were against lefties. That's where you're like, okay. Like, you'd have to wonder a little bit if they would consider sending Kyle Isbell down sometime in the near future. Not a guarantee or anything, certainly by any stretch of the imagination, but I wouldn't rule it out as a possibility sometime over the next couple of days. Did you see, by the way, Witt in postgame, he's working out his material on us and then putting it into action. So we had Witt on Monday. And he was digging for a quote about how 50 games you win, 50 games you lose, it's what you do in the other 50, right? That put you in the best position overall. Last night, in postgame, on the field, he gave that exact same quote, but this time, after we had told him, remember, he couldn't remember who said it? And then we're like, I looked it up, I didn't know it. I looked it up and quickly discovered it was Lasorda. Listen to Witt in postgame.
Yeah, we're doing enough to win games, which is a huge thing. I talked about it the other day. I think it was Lasorda said, you know, you're going to win 50, you're going to lose 50, and it's the other 62 that's going to determine your year. I think it's a great quote. I think there's a lot of truth to that. And we've had some games that, you know, 50-50 games that in the past we might not have won, and we're doing a good job this year of winning those games, and got to keep doing it. Got to keep finding ways to win.
Look, we're helping.
What I love too is like, I think it was Lasorda still. He still said, I think, as in he didn't have ultimate faith that we were still correct with him, but he said,
enough to say, I think so, not to say I definitively know. It's like, Cody, I'm going to put a little bit of trust in you, but not all the trust. Yeah. That's fair.
No,
that's
more than fair. I caught that last night as well, and obviously, I mean, look, I think if you look at how they're playing and if that's the approach that they, you know, he's going to take, just if you're being real about it, like, yeah, I mean, this was one of those games where it was a toss up. And again, you had something break your way, which you're never going to apologize for. And it turns out and works for you, and you're above 500 again. And hopefully you get the guy that's supposed to be your ace, right? And Brad Keller on track, and you can hopefully put the two prior starts behind them. And this afternoon he gets rolling. And then suddenly if Brad Keller goes down and gives you a nice solid outing today, then it's like not almost a little bit of a deep breath you can take. Like, okay, so we bought ourselves some time until he kind of got right, and Danny Duffy's been pitching well. Now let's try to get Dozier right, for example. Like, he's kind of next in line for me. I mean, both at the same time, ideally, but like Brad Keller and Dozier are two guys you got to get right, got to get them going.
It's easy to paint the rosy picture on the starting rotation if he goes good today. Mm-hmm. Here's why. Duffy's giving you two excellent starts. Minor's giving you two good starts. Brady Singer's giving you one bad and one fine start. Junis has given you one great start, and he'll go Thursday. They've already announced he's going to be the starter on Thursday. If Brad Keller's all of a sudden right, you're like, okay, everyone's pitched well at least once.
Yeah.
And there's only one guy who has two bad starts. That's Keller, and he's coming off his best, so now I'm feeling good about him. Like, you can paint the entire rosy picture on the starting rotation if you want, versus the bullpen, which, because of injuries and other stuff, we can have a different conversation about in a minute.
Yeah, we'll talk more about that, as unfortunately Stammon is on the IL now, and so he joins Jesse on. We'll get into the impact that that's going to have. We'll talk some more baseball coming up in about 15 minutes or so as well. As far as the NFL goes, we're 15 days away from the draft, and what happened yesterday from the players, we'll get to momentarily, and their decision to go out and have some voluntary workouts that now might be virtual again, and there's up to four teams that are doing that. There was also the announcement that the Buffalo Bills, they're going to go 100% capacity in the fall at their stadium, with the caveat that they are going to require you to be fully vaccinated. And this is something that we've wondered if it would be happening in sports going forward. We know in baseball it's not, but at least one NFL team now, the Buffalo Bills, has said that they're going to require vaccination in order to be in the stands. Now, of course, we wonder, is that something that could happen at Arrowhead going forward? I would imagine this is going to be a team by team, city by city, health department by health department, owner by owner type of situation. So I think we're a long ways off from being able to say point blank, oh man, this means every team is going to do that. I think there will be other teams that do this. I think there'll be some businesses that do as well. I don't think it's going to be a blanket thing across the National Football League. But what yesterday's announcement for the Bills told me, though, is what we can expect, I believe, for training camp, which is, if you couple it with what the players now are wanting virtual again, the unlikely scenario for me that it's very unlikely that fans are allowed at training camp this year, period. And that, frankly, if that's the case, why would you even be up in St. Joe again this year? So I think yesterday was a sign that camp will not have fans in St. Joe this year, though.
I really hope that's not the case, because I know how big of an event the Chiefs make a big event out of that. And obviously the fans, as we well know, love going up to that. And we would like to be up there for obvious reasons, because, you know, we like to sit out of the practice field and watch practice and meet all of you guys as well. I do think that, like you're saying, hey, this is probably not going to be every organization, but I'm pretty confident that by September 1st, the week the NFL season starts, every single NFL team will have announced full capacity for their stadium.
Yeah, but that's not what I'm talking about. They're going to announce full capacity. I'm talking about the vaccination part of it. I agree.
Absolutely.
Every stadium's going to be near full capacity on opening day. I'm talking about the biggest part of the announcement.
Specifically the vaccination requirement.
That was the news part of it from the Bills yesterday.
I think that, and I believe you're right, I think that will be a case-by-case basis. I don't think that's necessarily what's going to happen at Arrowhead. I don't think, I don't know if that's what's going to happen in Jerry World, is obviously that's not what the Houston Astros required. They had a sellout stadium, or the Rangers. Rangers allowed a sellout stadium for opening day. They did not require you prove that you had been vaccinated to do so. It will absolutely be regionalized. So we can't tell you what Arrowhead will require. But I don't have a problem if that's what you want to do. You're a private business. If you want to require a vaccination card in order to get into the stadium, you can make your decision to either do or don't, right? Then it's on you. You make the decision. They're saying, hey, if you want to come, this is what we require. The same as they require a clear plastic bag, no bigger than 8x10 or whatever, right? Like, it's this, to me, it's like it falls in the same line. It's your stadium. It's your team. You're allowed to ask for whatever requirements you want in order to allow people into the stadium. I'd actually be surprised if this was a majority of the stadiums, but I still think that all of them are going to be at full capacity by September.
Yeah, that part.
I just think it'll be like 15 of them require full vaccinations and the other ones don't.
It'll be interesting too. I think a lot of these other, like the Bills are kind of taking the bullet here, for lack of a better term to use, just in terms of this decision, right? Well, they're going to see what the reaction is. Like, if I'm another NFL team and I was even remotely considering this. I'm like, all right, let me see what kind of feedback do the Bills get on this announcement yesterday. Like they can kind of take the heat and the questions from that decision that they made yesterday. And then these other teams can kind of see in other cities and they can kind of see how that reaction goes to determine what their decision-making process is going to be as well. I think the vaccination part will not be uniform by any means. The capacity should be pretty close to 100% for everybody by the time we get to September, we would hope, obviously. I mean, look, in baseball, nobody's requiring the vaccination for stadiums that are holding 10,000 fans. So I don't suddenly think that what the Bills are doing is going to be uniform, but it is the start of what we'll see probably a little bit more just in a wide variety of life, not just with sporting venues and
well, I wonder if any bars will require that. Like, hey, we can be full capacity, but you got to prove you're vaccinated. Like, are they just going to bring the card everywhere?
I mean, will there
be a photo ahead of time?
Will there be a bar that requires it? Yeah, but
majority?
I don't think it's no.
They've
way.
Been hurting
yeah.
too much.
Yeah.
Like, you think about what this did to the restaurant industry. Like, they're just going to be happy people are allowed back in the doors again. Like there were a lot of restaurants and bars that had to, had to close because of the pandemic and the spread of the virus and all the things.
There's so many questions with it too. Like even the Bills, like how do you pull that off and execute that? Because you have to have a database essentially, like a way to prove it. Like they're not to get too far into it, but like
you have to send in a photo before you buy the ticket to submit. I don't know. Maybe
like you've got to. There's got to be some database that's accessible that they're able to have true proof of
Correct.
It and everything. So there's
so
a lot
to submit it ahead of time almost.
Yeah. So like, how does that impact how you're going to do it? Again, this is why I think like the Bills let if they want to try to figure this out and then see if anybody else wants to follow, fine. But let them kind of figure out and go through the struggles with that going forward to determine how that's going to work. But we'll get to also the players and what they decided coming up in about 12 minutes, as far as at least four teams now in the NFL. And who knows, I think half hour, it seems like a new team might get added to that list in terms of players wanting to go virtual again this offseason. What does that mean for the Chiefs and why I think the Chiefs might be in a little bit different position compared to some of these other teams. We'll get to that in just a little bit. But I did love yesterday. We talk about Derek Jeter. We joke about him. We joke about Alex Rodriguez. And
you
we know,
say he's likable. I say he's not.
I think post-playing career, A-Rod's more likable than when he played, for sure. He is now going to soon, in I think 2023, officially be one of the owners of the Minnesota Timberwolves. So Anthony Edwards, for those that don't follow the NBA, he's one of the bright young stars, very talented kid that plays for the Timberwolves. He's only 19 years old. And so he was asked in a post-game press conference yesterday about, hey, what do you know? You got a new owner, so sure enough, what do you think about A-Rod owning the T-Wolves going forward? And here was Anthony Edwards' answer.
Do you have any thoughts about him? Are you an A-Rod fan at all growing up or anything like that? What do you think about what he might bring to the team?
A fan? What do you mean? Like, who is he?
The baseball player, Alex Rodriguez?
Yeah, no, I don't know who that is.
Okay.
I know he's going to be the owner, but I don't know nothing about baseball.
he wasn't joking. He flat out was like, "What do you a fan? What do you mean?" I mean, he was 19 years old now. So what? When A-Rod was playing, what was he? You know, when A-Rod, I mean,
A-Rod hasn't played in probably 8 years.
So what is this? So Anthony Edwards was 7 years 11? Old.
You
know,
I mean, that,
Anthony Edwards was like 7 years old when A-Rod was playing. I know it's.
I knew
it's hard.
A-Rod was when I was seven.
Yeah,
this is baseball's problem. This is not an Anthony Edwards problem. This is a baseball problem.
It's a baseball problem. It's also a Anthony Edwards is 19 years old type of problem, too.
Yeah.
Sounds crazy to you and I know.
Oh, it seems ludicrous, but I'm not surprised. Are you?
I think because he's an athlete, we assume that like he should know every famous athlete ever, which is not fair. It's pretty incredible. They probably needs to be filled in a little bit on what A-Rod was able to accomplish. And now that he's going to be the owner of your team that you have a contract for, I think it's hilarious. I would love to know A-Rod's reaction. Like if someone actually
devastated
live showed that, like if we could get a live video as he saw it for the first time and heard that from Anthony Edwards, what is A-Rod thinking?
It would be like that episode of The Simpsons when they slowly replay Ralph Wiggum's heartbreaking. You know that A-Rod would be devastated. He's going to be devastated to find out that their best player has no idea who he is. I play baseball? I don't know anything about baseball. I'm not worried about that. I can promise you at 7 or 8 years old, he knew who the best NBA players were. Like, they just don't, appeal. Like, baseball doesn't promote itself, which we've discussed a million times. So that's part of the problem. And Anthony Edwards didn't care about baseball, so he didn't bother to learn about it. Do you like how casual he is about it? Like, that's the future owner. That's the guy who's going to be partially on his checks.
I love him.
Like, I just don't know who that dude is.
No, A-Rod retired in 2016, so it's not even like he should know. He was so he's what?
That wasn't 5
years
ago.
He's like 15. Yeah, he's like 14 years old.
And he's just here to play basketball and ball. That's all he cares about, all right? We should be praising him for being so focused on his NBA career that he doesn't have time for any distractions.
I would love to know, does he know, can he name a single member of the Minnesota Twins?
No.
Not a chance.
0%. Can Serta? I was about to say.
He lives in the city, though.
Miguel Sano still play there?
Does who? Yeah. Miguel Sano? That was the first one you mentioned?
That's not a bad poll.
He got sent down a bunch because he kept striking out 900 times.
He's been in the league for a while.
Yeah, he's still in Minnesota. You're good.
His manager's name is very memorable only because it's a great name. Rocco Baldelli. I'll never forget that name. I remember like I was
very baseball name.
Yeah, yeah. I remember his like MLB debut. Don't ask why. I was listening to Rolls. I was driving back from Branson. I don't know how little I was at the time. Driving back from Branson, and it was Rocco Baldelli's debut. And I know Ryan Lefevre was like infatuated with the name. These are weird things you'll remember in a baseball. I actually will not forget Rocco Baldelli. One of his debuts was against the Royals, I believe. So there you go. Random.
I just thought you mentioned like Jose Barrios or something. Like that's their best.
But Sano's been in the league or it's been a name longer.
He has. Look, no judgment. Sano is on their roster. Serta's not wrong.
Serta is correct. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Sano plays for them. So you're good, man.
Miguel Sano was good.
He was good for a while, and then he started to strike out at a rate that was prohibitive. And so they had to take him in and out of the lineup, move him up and down the lineup, and even included a stint in the minors because he kept striking out so much. Well, he didn't Ken Harvey it. He wasn't an all-star and sit down in the same year. He was just, he struggled a little bit. He was a good player, but he's not quite the same player he was
this year. 35 at-bats hitting .086.
With how many strikeouts?
16.
God, that's so many. That's half the time.
One home run.
Yeah, that's not good.
Anthony Edwards. I bet you someone will fill him in a little bit more on A-Rod and his new owner here starting in 2023. Coming up next, your first shot for us today at $1,000 in the National Cash Contest. And is this going to keep happening in the NFL this offseason?
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Just getting started here on a Wednesday. Cody and Gold. We'll get to what NFL teams continue to do in the last 24 hours. We're up to four of them. We'll tell you what that is and why the Chiefs, at least I think, could be a little bit different in this scenario. But first, it is your chance at $1,000.
Your dash for the cash. Code word this hour is feather, F-E-A-T-H-E-R, feather. Text that over to 72881. You'll be the $1,000 winner in our national cash contest. We'll have another chance at the Chiefs red half hour at 11:30. For complete rules, just head over to 610sports.com. Message and data rates may apply. The cash contest is powered by BetQL. Let BetQL's proven data and analytics help you become a better better. Download the BetQL app today. That's Feather, F-E-A-T-H-E-R, over to 72881.
Royals baseball coming up at 1 o'clock. Brad Keller on the Bomb Ferns on Deck show at noon. So we're off at noon today here on your home for the Royals, 610 Sports Radio. And we'll talk more about Brad Keller coming up in the 11 o'clock hour. But today, another team was added to the list. That'd be the Detroit Lions, including now the Bucks, the Broncos. The Broncos were the first, and the Seahawks. They've all put out statements and saying they're going to forego participating in voluntary offseason workouts. And so the NFLPA put out all this, and it all has to do with their ongoing concerns that they say they have through with the COVID pandemic. On the surface, I think it is, well, they really enjoyed the virtual offseason last year, that they didn't have to go in. And that there were risks, obviously, that, yeah, they put themselves in at the time. But at this point, going forward in this offseason, it's like you can use COVID again for one more offseason. Before yep. then, it becomes like crystal clear that you just are not wanting
you
to
don't
show,
want to show up.
Yeah. So like the reason they gave is that the cases are up and all that. And that's factual in that
accurate
regard. But I think a lot of it is they were comfortable with how last year went overall in the offseason workout. I think it's going to be awfully tough for NFL owners to push back on this, because what they're saying is true. And is it really the fight you want to get into if you're sports fans? Like, none of us give a you know what if they're on virtual OTAs or
doesn't
not
mean anything at all to me.
Like,
no.
None whatsoever. So like overall, whatever. I don't think it's where the owners want to dig in their heels. In fact, they can use it to their advantage maybe in the future. I don't know. But what I think is interesting is we assume, and a lot of people assume, that this is going to be an automatic across the league. It very may well this year. I don't think this is like forever going to go all virtual, even though guys can work out away from the facility and all that. My question is what the folks over at Over the Cap pointed out, which is so far the teams that have put out statements saying they're going to forego voluntary workouts, those teams don't have near the amount of players with workout bonuses tied in their contracts.
Weirdly enough.
So that's my
funny
only question. Will it really be everybody? Every team and everybody on every team. So like the Bills have 28 players with workout bonuses. The Chiefs have the second most. 25 players on the Chiefs roster right now have some form, different amounts, but some form of a workout bonus attached to their contract. Yes, that includes voluntary workouts in most cases.
Sure.
So that's what's really intriguing to me. The Bills are at the top, the Chiefs, the Jags, the Packers, the Dolphins, the Bears, the Vikings. Notice none of those teams so far,
so far,
have put out a statement. The teams that have been the Bucks and the Lions and the Seahawks. None of those are at the top. I'm looking at the top 10, by the way, of players, teams. None of them are even in the top 10.
You can make an argument that those teams are waiting until it's wider spread.
Absolutely.
Because like once there's enough weight behind it that it really can't be ignored, then you're not going to withhold a workout bonus from me, are you? Because we're all clearly going to go virtual, and you gave us those workout bonuses for going virtual last year. You know what actually hurts them? Is they probably thought this was going to be a one-year thing, and then you got guys like Gronk out here saying he would just change clothes, do all of his workouts in the same day, and then not do anymore. And look, Gronk played fine, right? It's not like it made some huge impact in the way he performed as a football player over the course, but he wasn't like a great tight end or anything last year. But he played perfectly fine based on the contract he was given by the Buccaneers, enough so that they decided to bring him back again this year, right? The workout thing didn't bother them. It's about convincing your coaches that in the long run, we're going to have to concede on this now, but it's, you know how this, I, I usually say this the other way around. It's like when you give the owners this, this is what happens. Like if you give the owners the extra playoff teams, they're going to want more playoff teams. That happened. That's exactly what happened. The owners immediately asked for more playoff teams this year for Major League Baseball. It did not work out, but they immediately asked for it because they knew that was something they wanted. Of course, when you gave the players one virtual offseason, they were going to want more. And right now, they technically have the math on their side, right? There are more COVID cases than when we were virtual last year. Now, there wasn't a vaccine last year.
Yes.
So you don't have. So that's a bit of a knock on part of their argument. Yeah. And they did not mention that, obviously, as part of their argument. I don't think they have much of a leg to stand on, but if I were the owners, I'd probably just cave on it. Truthfully, I wouldn't feel it worth this fight this year. I would make it very clear next year you will be showing up to work.
Well, that's what's in the CBA.
Because it'll all be done. That's what's in the CBA.
Yeah, and you still have at that point 7 years left of it by the time you get to next offseason, or 8 years up by the time you get to next offseason. That's something that, you know, 8 years from now, if you want to try to work in the next CBA that says, hey, we don't need these to be these workouts, even if they're voluntary, this isn't something that we need to show up to or anything like that. Because in a normal year anyway, it's not like everybody shows up. Because if you're a veteran, if you're someone that's made your money in the league, nowadays, too, it's so easy to go. You have, like, facilities, whether it's Mahomes that's got a facility in Texas he can go to. Like, there's thousands of those across the country that have very adequate professional type of training environments that they can get the work in and have no issue at all. That wasn't something that existed before. Like the workout bonuses is something that's been around forever, but a lot of it was making sure people were going to work out, or, hey, this is the only place you could come and work out is at the team facility because we've got all this equipment for you. That equipment and those facilities exist all over the country now. So it's like a different vibe than what it used to be. But I don't think after this year it's suddenly going to be the norm. I think it's this year, yes. They're able to probably do this. We'll see if other teams follow. And the money on the workout bonuses, I think, is very interesting. Now, it's 28 players, but it's not a huge amount of money. Over the cap did the math on it. It's about $3.1 million that the Chiefs would be paying out in workout bonuses if everybody showed up.
It's money they could save off the cap, though, if they don't pay it.
Yeah, and I don't know how you can maneuver
some of
that.
Works that way, yeah.
Yeah, and I don't know specifically, but you're right. I mean, there's something that's in play with that. So it's going to be interesting. The teams that are a little bit more incentive-laden on the workout bonus, when do they decide and when do their player, are they willing to do it? Because if you're a second-year guy, even you're not skipping
the bonus a lot of money.
You're also not skipping normally, right? You're not skipping a voluntary workout. You're trying to prove yourself still. You're on your first rookie contract. You're not quote unquote making any money in football terms, right?
And that's who's hurt by the lack of actual on-field workout bonus because if you show up right in May and then June and July and August, because you will if you're a rookie or you're an undrafted free agent or you're Byron Pringle, right? You show up to all of those. You know why? Because you want to stand out just in case somebody else isn't there, Gold. You want to make sure Mahomes has plenty of time to throw to you. And I know Mahomes isn't going to be there for a lot of that because he's recovering from the turf toe surgery. But just in general, the players who are hurt by that are the ones who are desperately trying to get noticed. I assume part of the reason Marcus Kemp has stayed on a roster for the Chiefs for 5 years is because he shows up to all of these things and he always outshines the other young guys who could show up and take his job. And what does he do? Beat him out, Gold, every year. If you don't see it on paper, I think if you're the young player, it is hard to beat out that player, if that makes sense.
Yeah, over on the Jay Southland Toe Service text line, 913-576-7610, someone from the 816 text in and said, hey, if it's voluntary, why can't the player just choose to go to the facility, do a virtual or not do it? And he can. I think the thought with this statement, too, though, is it's not going to be where their stance is just for the voluntary workouts. Like, they're going to want this for even some
mini camp
OTA, you know, full OTA where stuff
really
is
until
to
training
get,
camp.
Yeah. And so that's the thought, like, okay, if they're saying this now with, you're right, they are voluntary workouts, that the NFLPA suddenly in a month from now is not going to have a different stance on post-draft OT, you know, mini camp type of stuff. And so that's why it's more like understanding this is going to be their stance across much of the pre-training camp programs. So it's going to be entering the fall. Right now, four teams, Broncos, Seahawks, Bucks, and then this morning, the Lions. Those are the four, and we expect more to go.
I think it'll be all 32 at some point.
You would think. I just wonder, the cap stuff, how does that get worked out? Or the workout bonuses, how does that get worked out? Like, are you able to get that same bonus? If you if the bonus is tied to that on a virtual level, should you get that same level? There's also not as much certainty on injury protection. Like, there's a downside for players too. If you're someone that is working out away from the facility and you get hurt, the team's not as liable, if not liable at all.
Yeah, for injury guarantees that might exist in your contract.
There's a lot of things that you have to weigh going forward, but this is kind of the first step from the offseason and see how that's going to go. 15 days away, by the way, from the NFL draft. And if you think you know who the Chiefs are going to pick at 31, you can go to 610sports.com. It's the Cody and Gold Draft Predictor. You want a shot at winning an autographed full-size Tyreek Hill helmet? All you got to go is to 610sports.com. You click there, you type in who you think the player is. The Chiefs are going to pick at 31. If you nail it, you get it right, you're entered to win that autographed helmet. And if you're wondering, okay, what if they trade out of the first round or whatever? Well, then anybody that puts in their entry, no matter what, they would be entered at that point in time.
Just
so,
go to Bink's mock draft on 610 Sports before, see who he says they're going to do, and then just enter that into the draft selector, and you'll be good to go.
That's right. It's pretty simple stuff. No reason not to enter, honestly. Like, it's about as easy of a shot at winning a full-size autographed helmet as you'll ever get.
Just guess.
I mean, that's it. And look, you can make a pretty educated guess as we get closer and closer to draft.
Sorry,
you would think. I mean, as long as you don't put in a quarterback, I think you're going to be all right, okay? If you don't put in a quarterback, you've got a shot. You've got a decent shot at that. We'll get to the trash of the day coming up in about 6 minutes or so. But as fun as last night was for the Royals and the ending and the wild finish and the ball bouncing off of Salvi's shoulder pad and then it ends up in the groin area of the Angels player.
The 1-800 got junk.
That's right. That's right. And it ends up leading to a pickoff. The bullpen's a little thinner than what it was when we were talking about all the options that they have and how good the depth is. And fortunately, they had that depth because Jesse Hahn's on IL. And then yesterday, the surprise one as well was Josh Stahmon, who is on IL with a undisclosed injury. We knew the injuries with Hahn. We don't know for sure. People can speculate certainly on what it is for Stahmon. He hadn't been pitching in as much high leverage situations, and we had talked about his entrance to spring training was delayed because of COVID, and that was public knowledge from the team at the time, and you wondered if that was an issue. Well, then now he's on IL now, so let's hope everything's all right with Stahmon as well. But that's two guys that you were hopefully, certainly one that you saw it last year. Both of them were good last year, but Stahmon, who was hopefully going to get more and more work as things went on, and now there's a little bit of a setback here. So it just puts more, like Brents, who's looked very good, got action last night. All of a sudden, like, so he's on that shorter list of guys that you're gonna really need to count on in those leverage situations now. They've already kind of shifted to him, but they're gonna really have to, because you start looking at who's available and you start seeing, like, Zimmer's a guy you feel great about, Scott Barlow obviously, and then Wade Davis and Holland and Jake Brents. I mean, those are really your arms right now that you've shown success so far this year.
Well, and as frustrated as, let's say, you might have been about, you know, Jesse Hahn, for instance, is he would have been a nice piece to have now. And they're not releasing the injury type with Stahmon. Like, he was asked again in postgame last night. They did not release an injury designation when they announced it yesterday. Last night when Matheny was asked about it, it was diverted, and they said that they're just saying he's on the IL. So at this point, I am to assume, right, that this is once again related to COVID. Because in any other injury case, maybe, they usually announce it. It could be other health-related things. It's hard to say.
Yes.
But currently, we don't know the timeline on Stahmon. If you tell me it's shoulder impingement with Hahn, well, I know that I can check back with them in a few days, and then we can make those determinations. I don't know how long they're going to be without Stahmon. And you're right. And they're carrying 14 pitchers right now. That's a lot, just so you know. You have an extra 26 man. It's surprising how thin their bench is. Hunter Dozier isn't quite right. They're carrying a backup catcher, which means they have exactly two bench players. Just Jerod Dyson and Alberto. That's it. That's their entire bench. So that's a bit thin. So you can't just, like, call up another pitcher and do that unless you're going to send somebody else down. Now, with Stahmon heading the IL, and then they immediately call up Zuber, and they bring up Newberry. That's how they got to 14. They're going to try to cover some of those things, but they might need a longer-term answer depending on how that shakes out. I think that's what we really have to keep an eye out on.
Well, and then like a situation today, and you're right, they brought up Zuber, but today, I mean, Holland pitched 30-plus pitches last night. So you already know even today, this afternoon's game, Cody, that Holland's clearly not going to be available tonight after the workload that he had yesterday and able to get the save for the Royals. And so you start just going through, and if you don't have Stahmon, like today, depending on how it plays out, like, you would probably think you're going to see Zuber maybe get his first action of 2021 today. It's a decent shot at that based on, you just, like, not only do you have Newberry's already pitched since he's been back up, but Holland's unavailable today. So you start looking at who's going to be those bullpen arms. It's also another reason why you need Brad Keller to give you his best start of the season. And again, at this point, you'll take five innings from him at the way things have gone, unfortunately, so far.
Holland threw 50 pitches over the last 2 days. He's definitely not available.
Yeah.
Was it? Or yeah, it was 30 over the last 3 days.
30-plus last night.
And like and close to 30 on Sunday.
Yeah.
So I'm going to guess Holland's not available today, although he was pumping at 95 last night. So that was fun.
Yeah.
But it's like, to me, it's just like there's a lot more questions about the bullpen now. It's so funny how quickly this thing goes. Right? How quickly your opinion on it changes. Because you're like, yes, if Brad Keller pitches great today, I can paint a pretty nice picture of the starting rotation. At the bullpen, like, with no Han, no Stamont, some arms that are a little bit tired, it's easy to paint a much bleaker picture of the bullpen. The good news is for the bullpen is they are still very deep. You still feel good about Zimmer and Barlow. And look, even Brent's to a point. If I'm going to have a guy who's wild, at least he's bringing it 100 miles an hour. It's why McDougal got to be in the league for a while. And he's sorted through some things. And honestly, if it gets worse, we know there are reinforcements. Like, if the offense doesn't perform, we know that if they wanted to, right, Gold, if the bullpen wasn't any good, they could pull Daniel Lynch and put him in the bullpen, couldn't they? They could do that. They could make that decision.
Yeah, I think we're still ways off from that, but yeah.
Sure. But if things got bad, they have that choice. That's what I mean.
Yeah, so we'll see this afternoon, too, to kind of how they're going to lay it out. Hopefully, they don't need much bullpen help today. Hopefully, Brad Keller gets
on. Just goes
on.
Nine?
Yeah.
I'm solved.
give me five at this point, the way things have been trending, unfortunately. Hopefully, he gets back on track this afternoon. And we did take a peek at the lineup. We'll talk more about that and what it means maybe for Kyle Isbell, because he's not in the lineup today. And that's 2 days in a row, because yesterday was Jerod Dyson who was playing in right field. So if Isbell's now 2 days in a row, and we'll see, maybe he gets a chance to come in late as a defensive replacement or for Soler in right field. Who knows? Depending on how the game's going, we never know how that'll all play out. But you do wonder if you're not able to get in the lineup again tomorrow, for example, talking about Kyle Isbell, then a young player like him, then that's not all that beneficial. So it'll be interesting to see, is it just a two-day, all right, he just needs a reset type of deal for Isbell? We'll find out as we're nine games in.
And it could just be two games.
Yep.
Like today makes sense, right? They want Salvador Perez to not catch but to hit. Okay.
Yep, he's DH.
Yesterday was just a day off, no big deal. Now you line those up back to back, a bit bizarre, and he's been striking out a lot. Okay. Like, I wouldn't rule it out, but it doesn't mean Isbell's definitely getting sent down, right? Tomorrow will really be the key.
I don't think anybody can say definitely. If he's not in the lineup tomorrow, then
he's
it's
either,
odd.
Well, if he's not in the lineup tomorrow, he probably has been sent down. Just to be clear, like, if he misses three consecutive days, Kyle Isbell probably has been sent down.
Or there's an injury.
And they have made, and they have made another decision. Like, it's not, like, that's really how this goes.
He has to be in the
lineup
one way or the other.
You're starting right fielder for three straight days for no reason against right-handed hitting, by the way. I don't know if there's a lefty tomorrow. I guess that'd be the one case where maybe it would happen.
Maybe he gets in at some point today, and that'll answer some of our questions, too, as far as the make sure there's nothing injury going on at this point. Look how many guys have already been up on the IL. Like, you go through and you talk about how deep they are in certain areas, and suddenly you get the injury bug that hits you nine games into the season, and you've got two relievers on IL, and you've got still your starting shortstop that's on IL, and for who knows how many more weeks, talking about Mondesi, obviously. We'll get into some more Royals coming up in about 13 minutes or so. But right now, Trash of the Day.
Trash of the Day.
Trash of the Day brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Just point and it is gone. So you guys know, of course, we've been opening all those NBA Top Shot packs. I bring this up today because you know we split our packs three ways. And so we would list them. We would agree on a list price. We sell a moment for $800, let's say. We said, all right, that's fair. That's good. List it for $800 gold. Or Cody, list it for whatever. Serta, list it for whatever.
Yeah, we worked through this.
Yep. I never listed them incorrectly. We didn't accidentally make a mistake on that.
Okay.
I just want to know, would we never speak again if this happened? So yesterday, someone that got one of the out of 100 LeBron moments, which are at minimum $22,000 is what they're selling for. $22,000.
I'm still mad we didn't get that pack, dude. I'm not going to lie.
There is an individual that listed his, not for $28,000, for $2,800, and it sold immediately, as you can figure. This guy cost himself $20,000. $20,000. He still made money off the pack.
Do you think he knows?
He has to know.
Did he get 2,800 and he was like, oh, hell yeah.
No, he has to know. When you list it, it tells you the lowest price. It asks you to confirm the price twice. Not like I just type in a price and it's done. It gives
just
you a chance to confirm.
Did see the zero?
He added one.
I'd be looking for a new co-host. Like, I would tell Speck we could no longer work together. Could you work with him after he lost that?
NBA Top Shot?
No.
They gave you several stopgaps.
What are you going to do? I mean, what are you going to do? The other guy that bought it, what are you going to tell that person?
That sucks.
Now, like, I had an issue. Like, once on StubHub, I brought...
Like, actual tears,
like,
right?
I once bought tickets on StubHub years ago, and they were ridiculously cheap. They should have been probably $240 tickets, and they were listed for like $14 or $24 tickets.
And I bought them.
And I'm like, oh, hell of a deal.
$24 is a steal.
And I very quickly, within an hour, got an email from StubHub saying it was an incorrect listing. They refunded my money, and I was just like, that's not. So I didn't know anything.
That was the price.
On Top Shot, when it's something like this, they're not going to do that. There's no reason for them. So this guy, I mean, I wouldn't be able to sleep. Cody, I would have taken the day off. I would have been like, guys, I can't. I'm throwing
no,
up.
No, you would work this week, and I would take some days off. I don't know why I got to work.
I would have been thrown up, and I wouldn't have slept last night if that was the case.
I would legitimately be devastated. I would. Oh. And you would get no profit from it. We would then, like, if that were the case, we're sharing all the profit.
I don't know about that. You get $0. I wouldn't lose
and
money.
Serta, right? You and I split the eight. No, you get $1,000 back, but then Serta and I split the $1,800. You get zero profit.
No, that wouldn't.
If you cost us $25,000, that seems fair.
No, that wouldn't happen though, because I would. That part wouldn't happen.
That seems unfair.
No, because I would get my money back and I would still have to make money, but I would be devastated.
You could have made
absolutely
money. tens of thousands of dollars. Oh man, I would be crushed.
If that would have happened on the air, like that's one of those that person should never live down ever. Ever. Hey, remember when you cost our show $20,000 2 years ago? Like, it would have been devastating for anybody. It actually happened, though. I mean, that's what a terrible nightmare, that guy.
Why wasn't I looking at the page at that exact moment?
I'm sure some bot bought it. Like,
I thought they were trying to get rid of the bots.
But there's still people that have, like, not even illegal ways of doing it. There's websites you can see immediately. You get an alert when a certain card lists for under a certain price. He could have set anything under 20K and boom, he's like, oh my, and bought it within a minute. That's the kind of stuff somebody
anything under
have.
20K, and then he looks at his account and all of a sudden it sold for $2,800 and he's getting ready to make a $20,000 profit even though he didn't even have to pay for
and
the regular pack.
And that guy that bought it for $28,000, he could sell it in 5 seconds for $20,000.
He could sell for $10,000. He could sell it in 2 seconds for that. Yes.
Seriously, like if you're like at work, like sitting at your office desk and you realize that, you're like fighting the next person that talks to you, right?
I'd have to call in sick. Like, well, I'm taking a day.
Like, honestly,
I am taking a day. I need a minute.
If mid-show I listen to him, I'm like, oh, guys, we're all pumped. We're all fired up. We got the LeBron. Like, all
right, it's listed for 28,000.
It's listed for 28,000.
It's like, guys, it's sold.
And you guys, and Serta does his, woo, he does that. And then I'm like,
I'm out for the day.
You're like, and I'm just dead silent. You're like, what? What's wrong, Gold? I'm like, I mean, I don't even know. What do I say?
I'm out of work for
that. What do I say? Do I just turn my mic on? I'm out.
You got to do something. Like, I would want to fight you. And, like, we don't want to, like, I would want, I probably wouldn't, but I would want to fight you. Like, so you'd want to throw hands, right?
There's got
to
be someone on the text line that's made a mistake on tickets or something, or one of their buddies cost them $1,000
or
something. Or
didn't bet on the right game. Yeah, like, Speck said he'd accidentally bet on the under or something.
For the Steelers.
For the Steelers, and he meant to bet on the over. But that might have cost him, who knows, like $100 or $20.
I mean, this...
Didn't cost him
unbelievable
$25,000.
I might quit just so I don't like ever have to think about it again.
Because honestly, you're right. If that happened, we would probably never do any more NBA Top Shot on the show ever. Because it would.
No,
just
I wouldn't
bring,
want to bring it up again.
It would be.
We couldn't do open packs anymore. I mean, I might like buy some of my own, but we couldn't do it as a group anymore. It'd
be over.
Be soiled. It just no good.
Text line 913-576-7610 from the 913. Someone says update. I sold 5 of my moments for $10, all bought for $5 yesterday. So there you go, listener making a little bit of money off their moments.
Hang on to those in case you don't have enough for the next drop.
This is true as well. I'm up to like 23 of them, I think, at this point.
They're not going to do like a 25 moment thing, right?
Who knows, man?
I've got 15 now.
They say 15, okay. They say their long-term plan is to do 2 pack drops a week. They're not there yet, but eventually, like I said, next week I think we're going to have some MLB packs
we
to
think.
Open up.
Yeah.
Well, I know we have one. Each one of us has one.
Sure.
We might end up with more. We each have one already. There you go. Whew. Someone said they had a buddy bet on the Cavs. when they were down 0-3, thinking they were just betting on the fourth game, but actually bet on the Cavs to win the series. So they're on the good side of that one.
That would be amazing.
So that's one where you got the benefit. Got the benefit of that one. My goodness. There you go. That is the trash of the day. Coming up next, we'll be 1 hour away from handing off to Vern for Vern's On Deck show. Let's talk about Brad Keller. It's his third start of the season this afternoon. What does he need to do to get on track? And man, Shohei Ohtani, must watch stuff right now.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.